אתם עם SBS בעברית.
שלום אוסטרליה. Prime Minister Netanyahu waited until after the Simchat Torah holiday on Monday before telling President Rivlin that he is unable to form a government. He returned the mandate the following day, and on Wednesday it was offered to Benny Gantz. Immediately after receiving the mandate to form a government from President Reuven Rivlin on Wednesday evening, Kahol Levan leader Benny Gantz began speaking with party leaders and inviting them to meet to negotiate the potential entry into the coalition he hopes to establish, while also setting up meetings between his party's negotiating team and other parties' counterparts. In a speech on Wednesday evening, after being tasked with forming the coalition, Gantz promised to build a government of national reconciliation and said he would invite Netanyahu and Likud to be part of it. Gantz, like Netanyahu, who failed before him, has 28 days to try and form a government, though the prime minister designate is seen as being no more likely to succeed in that task. Likud has stressed that Prime Minister Netanyahu is negotiating on behalf of the 55-member bloc of right-wing and religious parties loyal to him, without whom he will not enter a coalition. Kahol Levan has previously rejected this negotiation position outright. Their position is that Likud and Kahol Levan should decide together on the foundational principles of unity government, and that other parties would then decide if they agreed with those principles. If Likud does not agree to independent negotiations, Gantz's other option is to try to form a minority government. IDF Chief of Staff Aviv Kochavi on Thursday unveiled his multi-year plan to make the military deadlier, faster, better trained, and more capable of defending Israel against the threats facing it today. Kochavi said, "In the northern and southern arenas, the situation is tense and precarious and poised to deteriorate into a conflict despite the fact that our enemies are not interested in war." In light of this, the IDF has been in an accelerated process of preparation. The planned Tnufa momentum will see huge investments in developing the IDF's arsenals, including increasing its collection of mid-sized drones, obtaining large numbers of precision-guiding missiles from the United States, and purchasing additional air defense batteries. The military will also focus its training exercises more heavily towards urban combat, as it believes that its soldiers are more likely to fight in cities and towns than in open fields, where many drills are currently held. The plan will formally go into effect on the 1st of January 2020, but the IDF will put into place some of the proposals before then. Last Sunday, a border police battalion was ordered to take up position near the Yitzhar settlement as a deterrent against further violent activities by residents of the outposts in the area. Overnight, Saturday, Sunday last week, there was violence involving some 30 settlers who hurled stones at IDF troops and punctured tires of military vehicles. One soldier was lightly injured by a rock. Again, on Monday, a group of 10 settlers from the Yitzhar area threw rocks and bottles of paint at border police. The IDF extended an order sealing off the Kumi Uri outpost, which is located 3 kilometres southwest of Yitzhar, to non-residents. On Wednesday night, some 30 cars in the central West Bank village of Albire had windows smashed or tires slashed and graffiti of Hebrew slogans, including "Closed Military Zone" and "Regards from the Yitzhar Hilltop," which were found spray-painted on vehicles. A similar attack took place on Thursday night in the village of Yatma, roughly 8 kilometres south of Yitzhar. Police have opened investigations into the incidents. Hours before the targeting of Yatma, border police said a young Israeli set ablaze a tent belonging to security forces dispatched to Kumi Ori to enforce the closed military zone there. No officers were injured and no one was under the awning when it was set on fire. The suspect managed to flee the scene and may have been involved in the later vandalism. Border police said security forces view this act as an escalation in violence directed at the fighters and intend to do everything to locate the suspect. On Thursday morning, security forces demolished a pair of small makeshift structures in an outpost adjacent to Kumi Ori. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's government has previously ignored recommendations received five times over the past year from the IDF to demolish a caravan belonging to some of the most extreme young settlers in Kumi Ori. Israeli security forces on Thursday morning again demolished the home of Yusuf Abu Hamid, convicted of murdering an Israeli soldier in the West Bank last year, after the building was rebuilt following its original destruction. The IDF had previously destroyed the home in Ramallah's Al-Amari refugee camp in December 2018. The army said in a statement that recently the IDF spotted the rebuilding was taking place. The funding for the reconstruction of the home was provided by the Palestinian Authority. The PA said on Thursday it would pay to once again rebuild the family home. A resident of the Arab-Israeli town of Al-Fam in northern Israel was charged last week over weapons trafficking and possession of illegal arms, as footage discovered on his personal cell phone during the investigation showed his 18-month-old son playing in his crib with a loaded gun. The man was arrested last month over suspicions he was illegally selling weapons. The video of the child playing with the loaded Glock horrified community leaders, who have been demanding the police take action to curb the availability of illegal weapons. The year's death toll from murder in the Arab community of Israel rose to 76 this week. The International Judo Federation this week announced its decision to confirm a provisional ban on Iran over its refusal to allow fighters to face Israeli judokas. The verdict came after an investigation was launched into an incident during the 2019 World Championships in Tokyo at the end of August. Iran's Saeed Molai, defending his title in the under 81 kilogram class, was defeated in the semifinals and went on to lose his third place bout. At the end of the tournament, the 27-year-old, who has not returned to Iran, said he had been ordered to throw the semifinal rather than risk facing an Israeli in the final. The Israeli judoka Sagi Muki went on to win gold. Israeli kickboxer Yulia Sakhov won a gold medal yesterday at the World Championships in Bosnia. 21-year-old Sakhov from Haifa defeated her Czech opponent in the finals of the under 52-kilogram weight class of K1 style kickboxing, after defeating her opponent from Belarus in the semifinals. Three other Israelis took home silver medals from the World Association of Kickboxing Organization's competition in Sarajevo. Shia Cohen, 19, finished second in the under 52-kilometer class for KL style. Daniela Pashayev, an 18-year-old, like Cohen from Tiberias, was runner-up in the LK style for the under 48-kilogram class. And on the men's side, 19-year-old Or Moshe from Nahariya won silver in the under 67K class for KI style. And Israel yesterday was lashed by a rare hybrid tropical storm that brought heavy rainfall, strong winds, and flooding across the country. This is Peter Jones-Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from a wet Jerusalem.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להזין לפודקאסטים.